141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge night for Scotland at hand, and it's another 3 points in the bag as the team moves one step closer to the first World Cup since 1998. Not vintage by any stretch on the night, but now on to Belarus, and a playoff spot could be secured by the weekend. On the club front, Steven Gerrard set to hold more talks with Rangers today after constructive discussions yesterday. Is there any way Steven Gerrard does not return to Ibrox from here? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
Not vintage. Not vintage.
That was you I was talking about.
It was floodlight robbery at Hampden. If that's the best he can do, then get Katy Perry in to pick the team from now on. And as for the performance against Greece, if that's the chasing we get from teams who are not going to the World Cup finals, what will it be like when we get there? And as for Steven Gerrard,
that is negative even by your low standards.
We've been
there since 1998. Let's try and get there first, then we'll worry about what it looks like thereafter.
Hang around, because I've got 2 hours, as I said.
Because see if Greece don't get there, it'll be because of us.
And they won't.
It'll be because of us.
Yeah.
Because we beat them.
Yeah.
So that's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can only say that they're not going to get there, look how bad they are. That's because we beat them.
I'm looking at players like McTominay, McGinn, Ferguson, Christie, getting the absolute run around, and I'm thinking, here we go again. Anyway, as for that guy Gerrard, Rangers can't say they are going to have a rigorous and thoughtful recruitment process and then pick a successor to Russell Martin in under a week. They've got to interview more than one person, surely, and take more time than they have done. It'll be done by Dundee United. You trust me, Scotty, I'm an expert.
Yeah, well, maybe not with some of your predictions, but listen, I think Steven Gerrard is all but done in terms of the things that obviously we're seeing. I think in terms of last night, looking at Scotland, yes, we'll obviously get onto performance during the show, but I think it was a huge win for Scotland. It obviously sets us up for that game on Sunday. As you say, Gordon, if we were to win in the Danes, but to beat Greece, I think that secures a playoff space. And then it becomes a kind of shootout between ourselves and Denmark. But listen, we'd need to improve in terms of performance. But a long way to go to the World Cup. But listen, it was all about winning last night. And sometimes you have to win ugly, that's football. Better than being lucky than being good, as they say.
0141 951 1025. 7 points from the first three games, level on points at the top of the group. As we said, it could be that second place, a playoff spot, is sewn up by the weekend. Of course, you may have loftier ambitions in aiming for that top spot. So what did you make of it last night? I think anyone that watched it, anyone that took it in, whether it was at home, TV, radio, in the stadium, clearly it was not an enjoyable 63 or 4 minutes, would we say? But luckily for us, and news to Hugh Evans, games last 90 minutes and Scotland win 3-1 and move on to 7 points. So what did you make of it? Give us all your thoughts. What do you think about Sunday? How do you want the other game to go? That's maybe more important now than anything else. What do you want to happen between Denmark and Greece? Give us all your thoughts there. Things maybe that you want to see different, things you thought that were wrong with the performance last night. How did it work out in the end? All that stuff. Give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. And as Hugh alluded to, it has gone on and on this week, but it has only been a few days. I know we are the most impatient footballing part of the world, but Steven Gerrard, all the talk certainly look like it's heading that way. If you look at it from the outside, he spoke yesterday, spoke again today, but as Hugh mentions, Rangers want to get this right. They have to get it right. They want to do it properly. Danny Rowell was another name that was in the frame. Nope. And we will see what happens in the next few days. So get your thoughts in there, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, did you expect it to be done and dusted by the end of this week? Can you find it within yourself to just wait another couple of days and get it sewn up? How are you feeling? Because I detect an air of impatience in the ether, Hugh Evans.
There's a cataclysmic quality to all of this, because 49ers Enterprises can't get it wrong twice. They simply cannot, and that's why they've got to do their due diligence. Can't assume that one man and one man only is suitable for the job, and set about that rigorous and thoughtful process, because after Russell Martin, if they make a mistake again, then it's 49ers Enterprises who are in the dock, not the manager who gets the sack. It's 49ers Enterprises who are then accused of mismanaging Rangers affairs.
0141 951 1025. Scott, what have you made of this week with the regards? I'm sure we'll kick off in Scotland, but with the Rangers managerial hunt.
Yeah, I think obviously Steven Gerrard had been spoke about previously. I think for me, in terms of the 49ers enterprise, I think that's the one that they think will appease fans. Obviously, we've seen obviously the reaction to their appointment in Russell Martin, how early the fans obviously got on the backing. And in fairness, the performances just weren't there for Rangers fans to get behind, so I completely understand the frustration. I think Steven Gerrard, obviously someone knows the club, he's the last Rangers manager, obviously get him over the line and win a Premiership title. He came in previously, I think Rangers had finished third the season before that Steven Gerrard came in, and season by season they started to improve. Left them last time, obviously 4 points clear, I'm sure it was. So I think he's the sort of guy, when he comes in, he will get that respect because obviously the playing career he has. He also, now to add to that, he's won a title with Rangers. Yes, he hasn't been successful at Aston Villa in Saudi Arabia, but you would like to think that he's learned from some of the things that didn't quite work from there. And most importantly of all, is what is the coaching staff going to look, the people beside him? Because I think, as he's alluded to in many interviews, he feels like that's a big part of how he is as a manager, who he has round about him.
Well, is he in charge of charisma and they're in charge of heavy lifting? Is that how it works?
Well, I just think, listen, team effort. I think everybody has to bring something to the party. Obviously, there's names like Steve Holland going about, who's a highly respected coach. What that would look like with Steven Gerrard, I don't quite know. Obviously, because he has worked with different people, but obviously a guy that's had a lot of experience like Steven Gerrard in terms of playing and at Rangers, bringing someone in of that experience with some of the players he's worked with could be a good mix.
And that's why it's going to take time, because Steve Holland with Gareth Southgate, English national side, and you know, you don't put these things together overnight. And there's been talk of other people, like Jermaine Defoe, is he coming or not?
Oh, he's been all over Instagram, making it known that he's keen, I think, by the looks of it. But we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll get some further clues. I'll keep an eye on Jermaine Defoe's Instagram stories between now and 8 o'clock. Let's kick off with Simon, who is on the line. How are you, Simon?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I think I'm still on a high from last night, to be honest with you.
Quite the ending, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I'd like to offer a different view to, I think, the prevailing one. I don't think anyone will say it was a great performance by any manner of means. I don't even think the players or Steve Clark said that. But I think some of the praise that has been coming Grealish's way has been a bit over the top. Like, they had 3 shots on target. They did knock the ball out really, really well. But to be honest, you know, their finishing was really, really terrible. I think if it was reversed and that was us on Sunday and we had the performance that Grealish had and ended up losing the game or the game over in Athens, I think none of the Scotland fans would be like, oh, look how well we played, though. You know, we'd be saying, no, we couldn't finish. Why can't we finish those chances? Listen, I'm a big Steve Clark fan, as you all know. I think he got the team selection wrong. I think that Ben Gannon Doak, the idea was that he was going to be the out ball, but I think their right back was at Vaginidis. He had him on toast from the very start. I think when that out ball's not there, then you don't have the option to go up long to Lyndon Dykes when you play Shea Adams. I think he looked really isolated. I think, to be honest, it was a really weird atmosphere. I think you were there, Gordon. Mm-hmm. I felt the atmosphere was really flat from the start, yeah. Even like as the game kicked off, which was really strange. It was a really kind of milky toast atmosphere in the stands, and that kind of transmitted onto the pitch, I felt. But when Scotland turned it into what Scotland are good at, getting the ball in behind, you know, after that, the Greece goal, first thing McGinn did was put the ball in behind, and that's where we obviously got the free kick where the goal came from. But I think I feel like when we make it a battle, when we made it a fight, we made it getting balls in the boxes, winning free kicks, getting crosses in, that's what we're good at, that's what we're best at. We're better than Greece at that. They're obviously good at knocking the ball about, but we're good at making it a fight, and I feel like when we did that, that's when the tide turned, and yeah, it was an unreal ending. But yeah, I think I watched the highlights back last night, and when Greece scored, I think the commentator called it a night of ignominy. Now, I don't know about you, but having an off performance to Greece isn't ignominy. 3-0 on Kazakhstan's ignominy. You know, struggling to beat San Marino with Mark McNulty up front, that's ignominy. This is not ignominy. This is a Scotland team who had an off night but still managed to get a result.
I think at that stage, Simon, the match commentator can only comment on what has taken place thus far. And at that point, I'm sure when the Greeks scored their goal, you too would have felt, oh dear, this night has gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, but listen, clearly Simon and I will probably feel similarly about it, but that is it not about perspective? Because those are different things. Say you had lost 1-0 at home to Greece, it's a difficult night, that it damages your World Cup hopes, but people almost wanted to put that down as like amongst our greatest tragedies sort of thing. Like, I feel like if we got selective memory, because 4 months ago, or well, 6 months ago, Greece beat us 3-0 at Hampden, and everybody said, wow, what a chasing, no looking forward to playing them again in the World Cup qualifiers. So you beat them 3-1, but all MD wants to talk about is how bad the performance was. That feels, even by our cynical standards in Scotland, that feels a bit over the top.
Well, you know, I think that you have to have a closer observation of things, not just say, whoopee, we won 3-1, and ignore other things that went on during the night. You know, my perspective is always the same with Scotland. Qualification, yep, can do that, but
No, but that's the thing. Let's be factual about this. Qualification for World Cups, nope, we can't do that thing. We can't do that bit. You keep saying that. We've made it to 2 Euros.
I'm talking about the qualification for the two finals that Steve Clarke has taken us
to. Not for World Cups. Not since 1998, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
How were the performances in the qualification campaign for France 98?
Good.
Were they?
Yeah.
Which performance did you like particular?
With better players then.
But which footballing display was particularly good in the 98 qualification campaign?
Not a clue, mate.
That's what I mean. Does it matter? See, when you were swanning around France with your shorts on and sampling the red, did you go, oh, I wish we were better against Estonia that night? It just doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, as I say, if they go to the World Cup finals and perform as they did in the Euro finals in this country and in Germany, what does it all do for you?
But it would be a first World Cup since 98, so you would take it and then you would find out once you got there.
Well, we'll wait and see. Yeah.
Simon?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Gordon.
I know.
To be honest, I feel like Steve Clarke, you know, gets so much of a hard rap online. But I feel like the atmosphere is different at Scotland games. Like, I was in the fan zone yesterday before the game, and, you know, there's a guy walking around with a Steve Clarke like face mask thing on.
I wouldn't go that far.
With Clarke starting army and the thing. But listen, I've got a question for the panel. Going into Sunday, I know assuming as a Scottish fan it's a dangerous place to be, but let's assume we beat Belarus, because they seem like a weak team. And if we don't beat Belarus, Hugh, I'll be on and I'll be the first to say that Steve probably needs to take a step aside. But listen, the question I have would be, would you rather Greece lose? And as a Scottish fan, you know, you've got that backup option, you know, you're going to be guaranteed a playoff. Or would you rather Greece won? We then go 3 points clear at the top, knowing that we win our next two games or even get a draw in Greece and we'd only need a win against Denmark at home to win the group? Or would you rather just have that backup in place, mm-hmm, knowing then your game in Greece is probably a...
It's a very tough one, that, isn't it?
I'd rather they lost.
Greece lost?
Yeah.
And then you've got your comfort blanket. Yeah. You know that it's a playoff.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Difficult. I'm looking at the performance last night and saying away to Greece, I'd be very surprised if we could go over there and do what we done last night. There's no getting away from that. In terms of Denmark,
won over there last time we went, I suppose.
I know, but... It's a good question. I think I'd probably take Greece losing as well.
They're only revenge mechanism. Mm-hmm. If we're not getting there, then let's see what we can do to stop them from getting there.
A couple of ways of spinning that, though, because if they're done, then sometimes that frees teams up. I think we've been that team before, where you can play quite well at the end of a campaign because you don't have anything to play for and the shackles are off, or the players start saying, well, we're not making the World Cup, so I'm not turning up, and clubs start pulling you out, and then... Oh, I don't know. What do you think, Simon?
To be honest, there's a bit of me, like I said, the Scotland fan in me, who's experienced so much of this heartbreak before, feels like, yeah, you'd want just Greece to lose, and then it's a straight shootout. Whereas in Denmark, you probably hope that, like you say, Greece take their foot off the gas in that game and pray us, and then we're able to, you know, to get a result. We'd probably only need a draw then against Denmark would see us through. But I think, to be honest, I'm verging on that one, but I think it's a situation where, you know, all the results we can probably find a bit positive, and that speaks volumes about the the team, the performance, and yeah, just I think Sunday's going to be a good. We're almost sold out. I think the Denmark game, there's only like one or two sections left, so my appeal to the Tartan Army or anyone who's interested in Scottish football, get on, get those tickets. They won't be there for long, and make that game against Denmark, because no matter what, it's going to be an important game, and let's make that a proper atmosphere, a proper game, and fingers crossed we'll be on our way to...
Did Ian Maxwell tell you to call in?
No, listen, the more Scotland fans are, the better for me. The better atmosphere, the better chance we have of getting through, and, you know, what a night it would be if we're able to get the result we need against Denmark, and Hamden would be absolutely rocking that night, so let's fingers crossed we can get there.
You should get a free ticket for that plug.
Although I've had my fun with Hugh, because I just thought it would excite my Friday night, but I'm not being daft about it. I was kind of joking. Obviously it was a terrible performance to begin with. What do you think led to that? Because it doesn't feel like it was a million miles off the team that, like kind of strongest team on paper. I think Billy Gilmore's exclusion was maybe the one that people would debate. Other than that, I don't know if there was loads. Was it team selection? I do think
we're a miles better team than Billy Gilmore plays. I just think in terms of that midfielder, he takes the ball when he's on the ball, he kind of, how he receives it and plays, you get that dead calm body language. It settles a lot of players down round about him, so I think he's key for us in there, no getting away from it. I think in terms of how we set up, we were really passive last night, especially in that first half, which when you see some of these players play at their own clubs in their domestic leagues, these players are all aggressive, so you can kind of see that little bit of trepidation. Do we get after them, do we not?
Do you think they were caught in the middle a bit? Because I've seen this bit, you see when you're at the game, you obviously get a real great sense of it, and I saw people saying, you know, Scotland sat off, but they didn't always. But then when they did press,
this is it, they can't get near them. Yeah, it's that in between way, because some players naturally want to go and get after the ball, and some are obviously working on the game plan.
Greece are good on the ball, aren't they?
They're decent, yeah, they're decent. But I look at the players that we have, and I think we could be as good on the ball if that was in terms of the mentality and structure you wanted from your Scotland team. But there's no getting away from it. That's not how Steve Clarke sends his Scotland team out to play. They could tell last night. There was that bit of respect, obviously, from the previous games that they had played against them. But for me, because there was so much riding on that last night, I just think we've got to be so much more aggressive with and without the ball. And I think with the players at our disposal, I think we can do that. But Billy Gilmore is the difference.
How key do you think Hugh equalising so quickly?
Oh,
huge.
Paramount.
Because again, sorry to keep harking back about being in the stadium. Simon says it was flat to begin with, which it kind of was. Whatever was in the stadium was sucked straight out of it when Greece scored.
Yeah.
But it felt like scoring so quickly sort of mended things.
Of paramount importance, because it just changed the whole momentum. Then the crowd are on your side, no dissenting voices. The Greek side are suddenly knocked out of their euphoric feeling, and the game was never the same again for them, culminating in the goalkeeper having a moment, a Greek tragedy of his own.
And Angus Gunn having a big moment.
Oh, what a save that was.
It was so good, wasn't it?
Incredible.
For a guy who literally plays no club football anymore.
Yeah.
Turns up for some minutes in a Scotland jersey.
Well, when Ange Postecoglou saw that save, he might have thought, I better stick him in before I get sacked here.
He's wanting two goalies in.
Thank you, Simon. We're going to speak to Jamie in Cumbernauld when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are in the building. Let's hear a bit from Steve Clarke. In fact, we'll do it in a second, because Jamie's been hanging on for quite some time. So Jamie, you give us your thoughts first, on you go.
Good evening, panel.
Hello.
Hi, did we win last night? Because see, the game I was watching, I couldn't believe it. I was going to turn it off in about 62 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Do you know what it was like? It reminded me of the opening game against Germany, where we invite teams on and they just go right through you. And last night, that's what it felt like with me. I'm not saying that's the way it was, but that's what it looked like. Their players are more than capable of winning a game at home against Greece. They've got it in them. I don't doubt their players. I give them 100%. I give them 100%, but who puts them on the field and who tells them how to play? That's the manager. Now, I've got a question about Stevie Clarke. Now, even the pundits on BBC last night turned round, and I don't know how many times they said it, when is he going to change that team? We're getting pulverised here. with Greece. It was like a practice game. It was like a training game. It was like, that's the way it was last night. And I couldn't believe that we've won that game. I know it's there in black and white. We won it 3-1. How did we win that game last night? The aggression wasn't there, Stu.
I'm as critical as you, Jamie. However, Steve Clarke didn't send them out under instruction to play badly. People like, and I'll use Scott McTominay as the outstanding example. He was not even a shadow. He wasn't a pale imitation of who Scott McTominay really is. And that spread throughout the side. If Greece had scored with the early sitter that they missed, I really wonder what might have happened. But we're fortunate, as well as playing badly, we got away with one there with that miss. They were also, as Simon, the earlier caller, pointed out, they were also wasteful in front of goal, the Greeks. So it was a rank bad night up to a point, because as Gordon has pointed out, game last 90 minutes, did win 3-1. However, fortuitously, they did win. But the worry for me, as I said earlier on, players like McTominay, Ferguson, Christie, McGinn, players of that calibre, all having an off night. I wouldn't like to see that happen again.
Scott McTominay has gone very quiet, Scott. Listen, he's earned it. He's earned a bit of goodwill in the tank. He was unbelievable in the last campaign and the talisman so often. And this is where it is probably quite an interesting balance, because Steve Clarke, as Jamie points out, he's the manager. He picks the players, he picks the tactics. So if there's something going wrong, he has to take the fall for it. That's the life of a manager. But at the same point, at the same time, I would assume he's not now suddenly asking something different of Scott McTominay than he did when it was all going so well. So I wonder if players just need to take a little bit more responsibility sometimes. Because there can be no way that Steve Clarke said, listen, Scott, see all that good stuff you did the last campaign, just stop doing that for me and do a different role. That cannot be the case.
Yeah, I take your point. I think in terms of Scott McTominay, he's clearly not in that rich vein of form. Obviously seen it in Napoli in that previous campaign for Scotland. But I do feel, I think Jamie makes a good point there in terms of, you could tell between Steve Clarke and Nasir last night that they didn't quite have the answer to how to deal with how Greece were playing. There was no getting away from that. We absolutely got away with one last night in terms of performance. Probably didn't deserve anything from the game in terms of control. 60 minutes without a shot on target. Yes, Greece had 3 shots on target throughout the game, but they had total control and we managed to get away with one in terms of the guys wanting to get on the end of balls, your Christies, your Lewis Ferguson. So as much as they were bad and didn't affect the game throughout it, they still came up with moments, and sometimes football is just about moments. As much as we want it visually to look brilliant on the ball, the players aren't. That was as poor as Scotland have been a long, long time
I think
me.
For sure, that first 60. Because see, the thing is, Hugh, is this, in many ways, last night kind of summed up what it is like to be Steve Clarke. This is the life of Steve Clarke. You'll remember the Friday when the Denmark team came out, and you know it was the two up front, but the rest of the team, and there was no Gannon Doak and there was no Gilmore, and everybody said, if he doesn't get this right, you know, he's done.
Yeah.
And he did. You know, he got the point. Last night, takes Ben Gannon Doak off. People are booing.
No, but just
Billy Gilmore comes on.
Just get out.
But that's the thing. You can keep saying that all you want. You can keep shaking your head all you want. If you're Steve Clarke, all you can do is do it your way and see by next month.
Yeah.
See if Scotland finished third in the group, he'll be out of a job anyway. So I don't know why there's such a determination to.
It's because of players we have now.
Because
of the players and the level that some of the players are playing at, you do expect a better all-round performance. That's fair to ask.
To isolate one example there, the golden child, he played him from the start and he didn't merit being kept on. And I was disappointed by his attitude when he was taken off. He's a bit young, he's a bit new to the game to be shaking his head as if the manager's not got a clue what he's doing. So he might have felt the back of Steve Clarke's hand when he got to the dugout. But, you know, Steve and the public will never see eye to eye. He's too dry, too dour for the Scottish public. But he has got to 2 finals.
Yeah.
He, in all probability, will get to a third. They will enter the history books for that reason. But there are times when he mystifies you.
What about Alex on the other line? How are you feeling about it, Alex? Hello, Alex. Oh, where's Alex gone? I think he's there somewhere. Is Alex joining us? Alex, can you hear us?
Sorry,
no, you're
sorry.
Fine. Probably our fault. Don't worry about
no,
it. Take it away.
I think it was mine. Good evening, Farrell. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good result last night. I just think, I'm just calling to make a quick point. I think now, if you and yourself, Gordon's touched on it. The relationship between the Scottish public and Steve Clarke, I think, is never going to be perfect. I think he can come across a bit abrasive at times. And I think there's times when I'm a big Steve Clarke fan, I think, particularly after last year, I was at the point where I was thinking maybe enough's enough here. But what I also think is performances last night showed something a different way. There's more than one way to kind of chat. There's more than one way to win a game of football. I think that the determination to get straight back into the game and then to go and win, I think, has been somewhat overlooked. And it isn't a great performance. But I think as well, just to use a quick comparison, you guys will remember the old Champions League, Europa League groups where it was four teams pretty much battling out. The Scottish team was always having to win home games. And there was nights where one of the old firm might have won a scrappy home game, and we weren't calling up and saying those are bad performances. It was the win is all that matters, and the win is all that matters because we only need to qualify. I also think that.
But that is an undeniable point. Watch this space. If Celtic or Rangers are well below their best in a European game this season and they win 3-1, nobody will criticise the performance. They won't do it. So why are we such hypocrites? You won't do it. I'll watch you. I will write this down. And when you're in on the Friday,
Celtic won't set out their stall to play like that at a home.
That
game
doesn't answer the question. You will say that like, do you know what? Not their best, but good to get that result. But why is it different?
Alex bring it up at the very start. It's the difficult relationship that Stevie Clarke has with the public. He'll surpass Craig Brown's record on Sunday and Javi's 71st, 72nd?
Yeah, it'll be longest serving on Sunday.
Craig Brown was a great communicator with the media. Terrific at it. And also successful on Scotland's behalf. Stevie Clarke really doesn't care what the public think. In my estimation, as someone who spent over 50 years in the journalistic business, he doesn't care. As he said last night, and justifiably, the game lasts 90 minutes. People forget that. So he's not interested in what anybody thought about the first 65 minutes. Couldn't care less. Because by the 90th minute, he had it sewn up. So that will always be the essential difference. And that's why if anything goes wrong or he picks the wrong team, the tactics are questionable, whatever, the public will seize upon him because he doesn't really care for what they think either. So it's a score draw in that regard, Alec.
Because that's the point. When you take Ben Gannon-Doak off and there grumbles around the stadium, you almost have to get that right, or you get battered for that tonight. I don't think you can still batter him for it when you win the game. Scott can say, I get away with it all he wants, but if you're Steve Clarke, you would at least have a level of comfort in your decision making.
As I say, with regard to Ben Gannon-Doak, he was due being taken off, and his attitude as a young player still learning the game was poor.
Alex, I don't think there were loads of like pass marks individually last night, but I suppose some big moments. Lewis Ferguson getting his first goal, 19 caps, that save from Angus Gunn. Anything else that jumped out for you?
I thought Christie had a really good performance again. Thought he's ever reliable. Again, Lewis says his first goal was good. The save was good. A lot's been talked about how our goalkeepers don't really get much or any game time at their clubs, but I think that's when you're given just your chance, you've got to do something. Angus Gunn pulls out that save. So I think there is positives to take from it. And as I said, performances are performances. I think there's a grit and a determination, and I think we kind of dug in and got that win. I think that bit's been overlooked. I think that's primarily because people have already decided that they've got an axe to grind, and that's understandable from the tournaments. But I see positives. Looking forward to Sunday. That's all I can say now.
Could Lyndon Dykes not have done something for the country's blood pressure and just and not put that in the top corner?
Rolled it in.
I would love that, to be fair.
I think he's defenders closer to him than he is in reality.
Why is he so high?
I think that's him. I think he's a natural show off, and he simply. I mean, anyone who's got a neck like his neck It has to be a show off. So
that's some anti-tattoo statement.
Well, it's over the top, way over the top. But anyway, rather than just roll it into the empty net, he goes for the Hollywood finale. And as I say, that's his personality.
I actually think, Scott, he maybe sums up what is good about this Steve Clark era. He might sum it all up where it's not perfect, no. It's not at an incredible level of quality, but he always just looks like he's delighted to be there. He would run through a brick wall. Of course it's a mistake by the keeper,
but he follows in.
But the same way it was a mistake by the defender in Oslo, he's always the one that follows in. And look, it is what it is in terms of our history. I mean, I don't know how many players have played for Scotland. Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
There's some only like 25 players that have got over 10 goals, and he, you know, he's now one of them after last night. I think you should always celebrate these things a wee bit more rather than look at what Lyndon Dykes can't do, because I'm sure there is a list there. But I think he kind of sums up what is good about that group.
Yeah, and Steve Clark's been really loyal to him. Obviously found himself out, obviously, the Birmingham team earlier on in the season. Comes on as an impact player. Obviously does the same for Scotland, but I'm with you, Gordy. I think you've got to give him huge credit. I think the fact he comes on, wants to fight for every ball, everything kind of that you'd expect from a Scottish striker. The fact that he follows it in, because the easiest thing to do in that situation is just to give it up and get back into shape. You've obviously got a 2-1 lead at that point, but he follows it in, and then obviously that's why he gets his goal. It's something that kids are obviously taught when they're really young, and that's always to follow everything in, but not all strikers do it. So takes a touch, not a great touch, not an easy one to take, hits off a defender, goes into the goalkeeper and falls in. Like he's probably got no right to even follow it in, because it's just such a simple save.
I think
for
the keeper's
going to
take it. It's not Lyndon Dyke's fault, Hugh, that we don't have a world class
number 9.
Like, and it's great fun. I'll encourage it on here. We'll say, you know, is Shankland a better option? Is this guy a better option? But I think if we're being really fair, whoever it is not a million miles better than Lyndon Dykes. You know, we're not overlooking these world class number 9s to get him in.
I'd let him loose on Belarus on Sunday, because nothing like building up his confidence. I mean, that, you know, they've lost 6-0, they're on foreign territory wherever they play. I'd let Lyndon Dykes have a go at that, see if he could get 2 or 3 goals, and that keeps the confidence sky high for the matches to come against Greece and Denmark.
What would you prefer to happen between Greece and Denmark, Alex? Denmark to win, which kills off Greece and means Scotland are guaranteed second, or maybe a draw there, or keep hopes of top spot more in the mix?
I've thought long and hard about it, and I think a draw is probably what I prefer. I think the playoffs are hard. I think if you look at how they're set up, there would be 3 matches against very difficult opponents away still from the tournament, and after the work that we've put in, I'd rather at least have a chance to try and win the group. So I'm not going to fussy about it. Hope we win on Sunday, and then just whatever happens in that game. But I'd rather that there was an active chance, because without Denmark dropping points, we'd have to obviously go to Athens and win at hand against the Danes. That seems a push. So a draw would suit me.
I can just imagine a TV exec somewhere on Sunday night when there's suspiciously high number of people in the Scotland area watching Denmark against Greece. What's going on? But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Thank you to Alex. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Let's hear from Steve Clark last night. This is what he made of the game overall.
The Scottish public should love to have them, because they never know when they're beat. They want to be remembered as a really successful group of players. Hopefully they're on the way to do that, to get to another tournament. I think defensively it was a tough night for us. Like I say, when the shackles came off, we just seemed to run half a yard faster. And that comes because of the determination within the group to make sure that it wasn't going to be another disappointing night here at Hampden. Results are the only thing that qualify you for a major tournament. That's one of the things that this group of players understand. You have to get the points when the points are there to be taken. I thought when it went 1-1, they could smell a chance to win the game, and they grabbed it with both hands. I understand that football's a 97, 98 minute game now, and you have to work your way into the game. You have to try and control the game in the bad moments. That's what we did tonight, and in the bad moments we worked ever so hard to keep the game level or keep the game tight, and then we managed to get the goals that got us the win.
Let's ask Agnes for her thoughts. Hi, Agnes.
Oh, hello there, Hugh and Scott. Hi there.
How's it going?
Hi, Agnes.
I'm fine.
Good. What are you thinking?
Right. Well, watching, I love football, right? And particularly, I love Scotland, and I love, especially when any Scottish team is in any European games or anything, right? I love it. Watch them all. But what I would like to say is, in my head, football is all about getting the ball in the net, right? And I watch all these stats that come up, possessions and passes and blah, blah, blah. And I think, hey, what does that matter? See, at the end of the day, that ball has to get in that net. And it doesn't matter whether you've played your worst game, whether it's been your best game. At the end of it, all that counts is goals. And I just think, you know, why do we boo the teams? Why do we this? Just get that ball in the net.
You'd still want to perform better, though, wouldn't you, Agnes, and try and make it a bit more sustainable and not leave it and make it sort of last ditch and all that sort of stuff?
Well, yes and no. I mean, at the end of the day, last night, okay, first half, you know, people would be saying it was a bit flat, bit this, bit that. But see, at the end of the 90 minutes or the extra six, whatever went on, who won? We won. So, does that matter? Yes, we love when you put on a great performance. We love when you, any of your teams put on a great performance. But in the last 10 minutes, I couldn't even watch the film. I had to come into the kitchen and I thought, you need to keep this. You need to keep this score. And that's what it was. It was 3-1. Yes, we did it. And that's what I feel about it.
I think, Agnes, you are Steve Clarke in female form. Because that's the way he thinks.
I don't know if that's a compliment for a Friday night, Agnes.
You trust me, Agnes, it's a compliment. When Steve Clarke said their results qualify you, he was doing what Agnes is doing. He was saying, look, got there in the end.
Yes.
It really doesn't matter what it looks like. And that's Agnes's point of view and that's Steve Clarke's point of view. Yeah.
I do think a World Cup qualification campaign probably has to be viewed slightly differently. And maybe that's why we project, because most of our football we watch, it's our club team. You're week in, week out, and you're thinking about building things, and you're talking about player trading models, and you're talking about season ticket numbers, and you're trying to make this product. This is a sprint. We've got now to next month to do whatever you need to do to get over that line. I feel like maybe that gets lost a bit. I think one of the callers put it quite well earlier on. Had we gone to Greece, dominated them the way they dominated us last night, and lost 3-1, we wouldn't get praise.
Forgive my.
Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. Like, people wouldn't phone in here and say we were magnificent last night. Folk would phone in here and go, that was weak, and you lost 3-1.
I don't understand. Forgive but if you play that the exact same way you did last night over 10 games. Mm-hmm. You win one out,
but we need to do two more. So that's what I'm saying. Don't worry about 10. Let's worry about two.
Forgive my intrusion into your private grief, but the biggest moment of last Sunday was arguably Daizen Maeda scoring Celtic's third goal against Motherwell. The difference that made to the stadium, to the whole feeling. Now that, you know, they will say, the Celtic fans will say, it was torture up until then, but when Daizen Maeda scored, I am reliably informed, the place went mad.
Mm-hmm.
And
thanks for reminding me.
Last night was the mirror image.
Yeah, I think there is a bit of that. I feel like we just need to decide which it is. Because in the Nations League, when we played well and when we didn't get the results that the performance deserved, the same people who are very focused on the performance last night were not so focused on the performance in those games.
What's
quite interesting that.
Doesn't suit their argument.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think we all need to be honest about what your original position on Steve Clarke is, or on what the Scotland team is, and just make sure that that's not influencing every opinion that follows thereafter. And I'm looking at you.
Well, listen, I can totally respect that you have to win games of football. It doesn't mean I need to like what I'm watching. I think in terms of our entertainment and for some of the players we have, I think the football could be a lot more attractive, but I'm in the same boat as every other Scotland fan. If we get to a World Cup, I will not care how we play during it. I just think when you're watching it at the time, you do expect a little bit more in terms of excitement.
Agnes, does this have a happy ending though? Does this lead to the World Cup, or do the stats catch up on us and the performances are not good enough and it's another summer in the house?
Well, for me, it's just take the next game and get that ball in there. You just play your hearts out, men, and get that ball in there. And if it takes to the last 80 minutes to get that goal, I really don't care when it happens. Just get the ball in there and get us into that World Cup round.
Agnes, are you available for the team talk?
I was thinking that. What are you doing Sunday evening? But there is a bit of that, Hugh, as well. I think, again, if we're talking about being selective on these sorts of things, I feel like I've watched loads of Scotland games over the years where we're on the receiving end of what happened last night. Did you not bring up the Italy game or something earlier on? Moments like that. I remember Czech Republic getting a late penalty at Hampden. It was bad. I was there. I agree. I was pretty unhappy after 65 minutes. But I feel like we're in danger of acting like that's the first time a team's ever won a game without deserving to win it. Like, that's okay.
No, I think the thought that's running through my head, Scott, is that the first 65 minutes were so awful that you almost failed to appreciate what went into the last 20 minutes. You know, we know the goalkeepers are a nightmare and so on and so forth. But I think the shock of the first 60-odd minutes was so great that we've still not yet processed the way the match closed.
Let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark this time on Lewis Ferguson. It was 19 caps for him last night, first goal and a huge one at that. Oh, sorry, it's Lewis Ferguson himself we're going to hear from. That's even better. Take it away.
The reaction was brilliant. We were a bit more aggressive. I think you need to do that when you're 1-0 down at home. That's a given. But to react and score so quickly was fantastic. And then you feel the energy back in the stadium, and then you sort of get the feeling that you're going to win the game. And thankfully we did that. Since I was a kid, it's everyone's dream, you know, when they're growing up, first and foremost, is to play for your country and then to score for your country. So yeah, just such a proud moment, and just so happy to finally get it. I was getting choked out. I was trying to run, but Granty, he definitely wasn't letting me go, so I just had to try and save my life and stop.
He might embody actually last night, because I don't think he necessarily played brilliantly, but pops up with how crucial was that goal, walks away with the Man of the Match award probably as a result of that. You know, it's like it can get swayed by moments and like fair play stuff, because I think I, amongst others, maybe thought that the obvious change is take one of those two off and put Billy Gilmore in. But Steve Clark had to do the unpopular one, and it was Doak, or Gannon Doak, I should say, for Gilmore. And again, benefit of hindsight, but good job Ferguson stayed on to stick that one away.
Yeah, it was obviously getting that obviously much important goal. I think you just need to listen to an interview, don't you? Why do you need to be a goal down to be a bit more aggressive? I think that's my whole point in terms of from the start. We have players who can be front foot aggressive and create chances.
Lewis
Ferguson's just said there in the interview. Mm-hmm. He says, when you're a goal down, we're a bit more aggressive. Why?
Is that sometimes a human nature, though? I don't think Steve Clark went a goal down and went, guys, quick, right, be more aggressive now. It's just one of those things where you think,
alright,
we're panicking here.
That at the same time tells you that what the mentality was in terms of how they were approaching the game, and obviously the respect that they had for Greece, and rightly so, they've got some good players. But
and 1-3-0 at Hampden a few months ago,
I get that, but I think for me, I feel we've got as good as players as some of what Greece has got.
He's telling it to me.
I know, I've noticed that. He's off my list for America next summer as well. I'm going myself at this rate. 01419511025 right now if you want to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What a way to end the week. Coming on here, getting a victory and beat the pundit. Humiliating Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans in the process, and walking away with either the signed ball or the new Beat the Pundit coin. You have until 7 to get those calls in, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is time for you to put your football knowledge to the test. Plenty more time though to react on last night's game at Hampden, if you so wish, or indeed look at Rangers' ongoing search for a new manager. Yes, Stephen Gerrard's been the most mentioned name by a mile this week, but second set of talks due to take place today. Rangers keen, I think, to sort of do it properly and not have it been the only name in the frame and carry out a process. So how are you feeling about all that? Calls in and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. What's the score this week? I've lost track. I think Gordon DL won last night in my absence. No. That's never good. Let's try and end it with a victory for the listeners. Lewis, the pressure is on you. Lewis in Bishopton, how are you?
I'm all good, panel. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking? What's your Beat the Pundit record? Do you have one? Have you ever played before?
No, I'm a debutant, guys. So.
How'd you do at home?
Well, I'll give you a laugh. I actually got 9 that night. No, Johanna got 10.
Right, okay. Although that
you play him, Scott.
That maybe sets him up for a fall, though. If the pressure puts
no pressure.
The pressure turns that into a 2.
Do you like it? He can get lucky on certain nights. You just know, yeah.
And it falls into your
lap. It's a miss, guys, isn't it? Really?
It is. Yeah. Right, what I'll do here is I'll toss the coin, Lewis. If it is the blue side, it's blue for Hugh, as always, and red for Scott Allen. Kind of like the colour that Scott Allen's face is going when he's describing the Scotland performance last night. So think of it that way. Let's see who's going to play on Beat the Pundit. And it's blue Hugh anyway, so let's do it. Again? Mr. Keevans, is that common on a Friday night? Is it
before we eat the bounce?
Is it?
Might need to assess my tossing technique on a Friday.
You too, Lewis.
Good, all very polite to kick things off. Right, let's give Hugh something else to listen to. Lewis, you have 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Perfect, thank you.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds. Oh, how many goals has Lyndon Dyke scored for Scotland?
9.
Who scored for Greece last night?
Pass.
How many clubs has Steven Gerrard managed?
3.
Which team plays at Somerset Park?
United.
Who's got more appearances for Celtic, McGregor or Forrest?
Forrest.
In what year did Craig Gordon debut for Scotland, 02 or 04?
04.
Who scored Scotland's first goal last night?
It was Lyndon Dykes.
Where do Partick Thistle sit in the Championship?
2nd.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us? We've got you back?
Yep.
Good. Yep. I was worried about you there. You looked lost in the music, so to speak.
Yeah. Do you know what that tune was?
The Happy Mondays.
Yeah, I thought that. Well, very, very ironic. I saw the two guys from the Happy Mondays at Ricky Hatton's funeral today, and a nice touch.
There you go. Let's go for the same set of questions to you, Hugh. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. How many goals has Lyndon Dyke scored for Scotland?
Oh, 11.
Who scored for Greece last night?
Pass.
How many clubs has Steven Gerrard managed?
3.
Which team plays at Somerset Park?
Here.
Who's got more Celtic appearances, McGregor or Forrest?
Forrest.
In what year did Craig Gordon debut for Scotland, 02 or 04?
02.
Who scored Scotland's first goal last night?
That was scored by Christie.
In the nick of time. What do you think, Lewis?
I think he's maybe just nicked me, I'm not too sure.
Let's find out. How many goals has Lyndon Dyke scored? You were both close, but none of you got it. It's 10. So it took him to 10 last night, like I said, into double figures. Joining a relatively small club in terms of the number of people that have played for Scotland. Greece's goal?
Tsimikas.
Former Liverpool. How many clubs has Gerrard managed? It is 3. You both got it. And I suppose it would remain 3. Even if he does get appointed at Rangers this week, because it would be a return to Ibrox. I knew this, Lewis would get this, even if he's rival Somerset Park, Air United. Lewis is a Kelly fan, you see. So it's 2-2. You both went James Forrest over Callum McGregor. It is still James Forrest, but McGregor's closing in. Because you know Forrest's obviously played longer, but McGregor racks up the appearances at quite a rate. So it is still James Forrest. Well done. 3-3. In what year did Craig Gordon debut for Scotland? 02 or 04? It is 04. Lewis got it against. I'll let you win. You can have the season off Beat the Pundit if you can tell me who his debut was against.
Sorry, for me, Gordon.
No, you're okay. I want you back.
Right.
The Faroe Islands.
Trinidad and Tobago. Easter Road. Anyway, that means one up to Lewis, doesn't it? Yes. However, Hugh equalised straight away because Ryan Christie scored the first goal, Lewis, not Lyndon Dykes. That was the last one. So we're level going into question 8, but not for Hugh because you were done there. Lewis got one more question. Where did Partick Thistle sit in the Championship? Lewis says 2nd. It is 2nd. Well done, Lewis.
Brilliant. Excellent.
I'll tell you what, Lewis. You were like Scotland last night. Bad start, didn't get any of the first two questions, kept going right till the end and showing that it's the end result that matters, not the performance. Good, I'm glad we've all agreed on that. Do you want the sign ball or the coin though, Lewis? That's the big question.
Oh, I feel bad, guys, I'm letting you down, but I'll probably go for the sign ball.
No, listen, okay. I'm happy to mix it up. I was on a bit of a coin push at the start, but now I'm more than happy to let you choose whatever you want. The sign ball will be on its way. Lewis, how do you feel about all things Kelly and Stuart Kettlewell flying high as far as that league table goes?
Yeah, see, to be honest, God, I know what it's like. When you get the job, there's quite a lot of kind of negativity towards it, but I kind of thought for Kilmarnock, it was always going to be hard to replace Derek McInnes, and I thought, obviously, Kettlewell was quite a solid manager, and I think, yeah, we started to turn the corner, but the next five games will be quite pivotal. We've got Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic and Rangers. That's quite an unforgiving run of fixtures, so it'll be interesting to see how we're doing after that. So
I felt like it was a summer of negativity. Maybe it's just the way we're all heading, right? But Rangers fans didn't want Russell Martin.
No.
Dundee fans didn't want Stephen Presley. Kelly fans didn't want Stuart Kettlewell. But out of the three, Stuart Kettlewell's the one that's defied it so far.
Yeah, well, he's used to that. He was trained at Motherwell to act in defiance of the supporters. So, but you omitted to say champions elect Hearts, Lewis. You just said Hearts.
Yeah, it'll be quite a toasty one next week, guys. Obviously, Kilmarnock, right, Saturday night under the lights, Derek McInnes back.
McInnes return, exactly. But they've done really well, Scott. I think those last two results in particular, I think once you, because everybody expects Kelly to be stronger at home than they are away, but to go to Tannadice and get that win, to then follow up with a win against St Mirren, who had knocked them out of the cup on penalties, that's, I think any club of that size in the league, when you go and put back-to-back wins together, it makes the world of a difference.
Yeah, especially against two sides where obviously they didn't go in his favourite. I think Stuart Kettlewell's done a fantastic job. Some of the recruitment's been really good. Big Dackers, who I've mentioned since the start of the season, since I first seen him at Easter Road, has been really good.
I saw him in the gym the other day, and I confirm Big Dackers is absolutely spot on. He was lying stretching on the mat, taking out about half of the floor in the gym. What a size.
I've not seen him yet.
He was with them, is it Dom Thompson, who's the fullback?
Yes.
Who's, I'm assuming, he's just like an average size guy, but must have been up to like his waist. Honestly, he is huge.
But he's been excellent. I think obviously David Watson, obviously playing regularly now, getting on the score sheet.
Captain the 21s last night.
Yeah, he was excellent. And he's got that energy, and he's obviously adding goals to his name as well. I think he's out of contract coming into the season, though. I don't think that's great news for Kelly fans, because he would be a player you would imagine teams are looking at.
Hugh, as much as I've been criticising people for taking away from Scotland's win last night, I'll maybe do the same now. I do fear for Gibraltar's under-21s.
Oh, yeah.
If our under-21s can beat them 12-0,
yeah,
because we don't really win many games, and we certainly don't win them well. 12-0 at Dens last night.
Scott Gimmel watched more goals last night than he's watched in the previous years of his tenure as the under-21 coach.
That was quite something. You didn't watch that, did you? You know, you sometimes on the old under-21s beat.
Yeah.
Oh, you did last night?
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, it was... There's lots of goals.
A mismatch, obviously.
Actually, the player for me who was a real standout was Kyle Yeo. Obviously, Celtic player on loan at Ayr United. He was fantastic.
A couple of hat-tricks, wasn't there? James Wilson.
Hat-tricks. Emilio Lawrence, who's a Man City Premier League 2 player. James Wilson scored. Obviously, we've not seen as much of him as we did last year, but still has that bit of quality in front of goal. Took his goals really well, but a lot of good performances, albeit you take into account the opposition that you were playing.
I had Scotland plus 14 goals as well. That's a blow that they were letting us down. And then thank you very much to Lewis on the line, and a victory on Beat the Pundit as well for Lewis. Hugh Keevan's weekend's ruined, which means everybody else has had their weekend made. Let's go to Colin, who's in Lanark. How are you, Colin?
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Evening you, evening Scott.
Hello, Colin.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. It's just regarding the Rangers scenario at the moment. I'm of the opinion, I think, probably for majority of the right reasons, Gerrard would be the man just to unite a kind of everything is on a full front to go forward. My question is, if Gerrard or whoever it is comes in, the lone players we have at the moment, De Giga, Giacomo, Ahrens, would we be able to terminate those deals in January and clear the decks with these guys and go fresh again?
I mean, the factual answer is I don't know what the terms are. Mikey Moore's on loan. I don't know.
Mikey Moore, I think we can work with. I'll throw another name into the hat as well. I'd like to pay the guy up and say thanks very much. Would be Joe Rothwell.
There's no
value in Joe Rothwell, but the other players we have, they're young and they've got value.
Colin, for a hypothetical response to your question. Supposing it's Steven Gerrard, how do you know that Steven Gerrard and his team can't get more out of Joe Rothwell than Russell Martin did, or out of Magoma, or Giga, or anybody else? He won't come in with the mindset that I must get rid of these players as soon as possible. He's got to surely give them a chance and see if he can do well with them.
My kind of mindset is you're loan deals, so regardless of how well you do, they're going to go at the end of next season. So your full focus is on one patch that you've just surely handed out to a lot of these guys. But they're young and they can develop under the right mindset and the right path to the right guy and the right coaches, I believe. But the loan players, it's a different mindset, I think. You're trying to hopefully turn them into Cinderellas within, what, a six-month period to say goodbye. To me, if there's the option there, is they've just cleansed with Russell Martin at the minute. Just cleanse what you can. And, again, I'm speaking hypothetical. Say it's Gerrard, he's named, it's a four-year deal. When I say it's a four-year deal as well, there's a caveat to that for our side, in that if it's 4 years, we all work together in this. We're not sacking you. And if somebody comes chatting my door for you because you're doing well, this time you're saying no. We're all in this together.
See, on the loan point, Scott, because it's an interesting one, but to state the obvious, if Steven Gerrard's appointed, it'll be done in the middle of October. So January's fine, and his immediate role, as Hugh says, is get a tune out of Magoma, get a tune out of Aarons, Giga, whoever, and worry about that, you know, down the line. I appreciate Colin is looking forward. There's no problem in that, but right now, especially someone like Magoma, Rangers have no other left back. I mean, I know Derek Cornelius, you know, and that's why he was signed maybe to cover, and the Aarons experiment there didn't go very well. But he'll need to get a tune out of some of them.
Yeah, that'll be the rebit. He came in and obviously try and get performance. I think first and foremost, Rangers actually putting some wins together in terms of a run. You would imagine with obviously Steven Gerrard's presence that he can do that. I think obviously he's been successful at the club previously by winning the league. I look at the players come January. Yes, sometimes with loan players you have that contact with the parent club to see if the split, whether you want to keep them or whether they want to go back. With Joe Rothwell, you never know. There might just be a player in there if Steven Gerrard can do it. I know the last time Steven Gerrard came, I remember Andy being there and them saying he came in and gave everybody a fair chance, and he looked at them over the space of 4 weeks. I know that was in a pre-season.
I think you'd need to, wouldn't you? Because look, I know it's been bad, but you know, it's been a couple of months of failure. It's not like
we don't really know. Based on what we've seen in terms of how Russell Martin was in performances, it's very hard to say right off the cuff that these players can never be good players purely based on that. We can maybe say that after 6 weeks under Steven Gerrard, then you can really write ones
say
off.
It wasn't the manager's fault.
Yeah, well, maybe not that.
You've got another one called Manny Fernandez. Rangers paid £2.5 million.
£3.5 million.
Yeah.
See, in a realistic world, Rangers Football Club don't want a back four
of loanees.
No, they shouldn't be.
Back to Manny Fernandez. You know, if it's Steven Gerrard and the bookies have suspended betting on him, then he's got to look at Manny Fernandez, and if he does have Steve Holland as his number two, he's got to have a look at him, and then it's sink or swim. He's either going to play for Rangers, or Rangers have already decided that it's been a terrible waste of money.
How sure are you on Steven Gerrard, Colin?
Just before we go to that, Gordon, if you don't mind, I can go back to it. I think going forward as well, what will suit Rangers is a back three. And I'm looking for two dominant centre halves, and my third one to play the sweeping role. And I know the guy takes a lot of flack, but he's a good player and he can read the game, is Tavernier, because he can step out with the ball. And I think he's got that in him. I think this is his last position. And I think he could make a good sweeper and a back three. But he needs two solid dominant centre backs in front of him. And unfortunately, John Souter's not that.
Oh, wow. I mean, Stephen Gerrard never really did that, did he, Scott, in his first time? You didn't need to find the right wing back if Tavernier's coming into the back three. It feels like Rangers need quicker fixes right now.
Yeah, 3-5-2 with Tavernier as a sweeper right now is not, for me, wouldn't be the answer to Rangers going forward. I think they need to kind of consolidate with a shape that's going to allow them, obviously, create chances and at the same time be a lot better at the back, because quite frankly, they've been given chances away game by game, and that's one of the biggest talking points and why Russell Martin's away is how vulnerable they are in terms of in possession. So if you gave a team the option to kind of turn that ball down the sides of you, if you were in an attack, you wouldn't quite fancy some of the players having to go into the areas of the park to go and defend 1v1.
What you made of it, Hugh, then? Today's update, if you can call it that, is that Stephen Gerrard is speaking to Rangers again. So spoke yesterday. Those were believed to be constructive talks.
Yeah.
Speaking again today in London, Parag Marite, Andrew Kavanagh, Greta Steinsen, the 49ers Enterprises technical director down there, leading the search. And it just feels like it's heading towards Stephen Gerrard. When and if there is a twist in that, I don't quite know. I know Danny Rowles' name seems to be the only other one that's really mentioned.
Yep.
What have you made of this week and where we are today?
I'd have been astounded if Rangers had named their manager a matter of days after getting rid of Russell Martin. That decision was taken last Sunday. I assume that Andrew Kavanagh got on a plane in Pennsylvania on Monday, having already written the open letter to the fans to say it would be a rigorous and thoughtful process of replacing Russell Martin. They have to see if there's someone other than Stephen Gerrard. They have to speak to more people than Stephen Gerrard. And they have to give it some thought, as they said, a thoughtful process. And that's why one conversation with Stephen Gerrard is insufficient, more than one conversation, and with others. And I would imagine that at some point next week, because tension will mount the closer they get to Dundee United going to Ibrox, by the middle of next week, I would expect Rangers to have a new manager, and I would expect it to be Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, I expect him to get the job. I think at the same time, though, you've got to assume that Stephen Gerrard has a lot of questions for the 49ers Enterprises as well. Obviously, coming in under a completely different setup than it was previously. So, if you're looking at Rangers since the summer from afar, that you'd imagine Stephen Gerrard has done, there'd be lots of questions he would want answered in terms of moving forward.
And see, if I was Stephen Gerrard's agent, I'd be taking a look at social media, I'd be listening to shows like this, and I'd be saying to Rangers, have you heard how much the Rangers fans want this guy? See that salary we discussed? Stick another couple of digits on that, because you lot now need him. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah,
can you imagine Monday and Rangers go, ta-da, here's Danny
Rowe.
These phones, you would just...
Well, my
they would blow up.
One of my school teacher daughters couldn't leave her school today until she was instructed to phone her dad to find out what was happening with Stephen Gerrard. So it has gripped the Rangers support and will continue to grip them. The reason why I'm so sure it will be Stephen Gerrard, I'm trying to imagine, Scott, a press statement which says it's somebody other than...
I know.
Stephen Gerrard.
That is the Scottish football media for you.
Yeah, so Rangers, of course, having been accused of not getting the city, 49ers Enterprises in the form of Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marite, have to get it this time and get it right, or they're up against it.
Thank you to Colin. It's a good time to join in. Anything that you've heard there, pique your interest one way or the other, get in touch and we'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. I know what you're thinking. There's no duo you would rather spend your Friday night with, and that's why we deliver it. So give us your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. We're going to do the pundit predictor quite soon as well. Got an excellent question on the full-time teaser. from Paul Diamond. Great name as well. Can you name seven players more than 60 Scotland caps and have won the Scottish top flight title since 2000? So seven players, more than 60 caps for Scotland, and have won the top flight title this century.
Craig Gordon.
Correct.
Callum McGregor.
Yes.
James Forrest.
Can I steal somebody's pen? I don't know, I'll remember them. So just let's pause for breath. Craig Gordon, yes, 81 caps. 10 behind Jim Leighton, Hugh, in terms of the top goalies. Does Craig Gordon get 10 caps in him?
No.
Simple as that. Sorry, Craig, if you're listening. But no. Yeah, 10 would be a
I admire him greatly for
stretch
getting this far. But really and truly, if he had another 10 caps in him, then there'd be something wrong from our side of the fence.
Fair enough. Angus Gunn, obviously, good save last night. Callum McGregor, did you say?
Yes.
Yes, he's got 63 caps and done, of course. He's retired.
And James Forrest?
No. He won't have more than 60 caps. He won't. He'll be a good bit off that, I would imagine.
Barry Ferguson?
No.
Scott Brown?
No. He's got about 55. Wow. 60's an innings when you think about
since it. Since 2000.
Yeah, 60 is a lot of caps. Did you notice your old teammate's landmark last night, John McGinn? 80.
80 caps?
Cap number 80 last night.
Incredible.
22 off top spot. But Andy Robertson's obviously ahead of him and sort of progressing at the same rate.
Incredible.
It's just a very quick point on Scotland. I actually think there's a wee bit of credit to be given to those two because they are clearly thinking about it. They two are clearly cap hunting. When it gets to the summer and you play Liechtenstein and Andy Robertson's won the Premier League with Liverpool, in years gone by, that player pulls out the squad, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you can tell those two have got those targets in the record books in mind.
Alan McGregor?
No. All right, I'll give you some thinking time. You're doing well so far. Callum McGregor and Craig Gordon. Seven players, more than 60 caps, won the league title in Scotland since 2000. A big thank you to Paul Diamond. It's a very good question. And to get involved, you need to send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. Serge is on in Shettleston. How are you, Serge?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me on, panel.
Pleasure. What are you thinking?
Obviously, I'm a big Rangers fan, and I had very high hopes for Scottish football this season. In general, with the likes of Hibs have been money spent, Hearts, Celtic, and obviously Rangers. Obviously, it's not turned out the way it has for my club. In the international sense, it's a very good result last night. I wouldn't say I'm a massive Scotland fan, but obviously I want the team to do well, but we really really need to make this tournament next year. This will be the biggest World Cup ever. And it's good to see that our national team are doing well.
Hugh, I can't believe I'm going to turn to you for a prediction to try and comfort me, but won't mess this up against Belarus on Sunday, will they?
Not a chance.
Is the gap now too big for those sort of things? Is this team, at the very least, even if they're not pleasing people like Scott, are they at the very least beyond that type of disaster?
At Hampden, they are beyond what would be a seismic disaster, because Belarus are clearly hopeless, and you know, Scotland will do it. It will be 2 or 3 nothing, and it will not bring anyone to the brink of heart failure. But
do you think we'll be excited on Sunday?
Mildly.
I don't, because if you look at where they are, what they're going, a bit like we played them last time, it should be easier in Hampden. But see, if you've been battered 6 and then the next game, they're also in absolute survival mode, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just going to sit on the edge of the box and see what happens.
They've lost 13 goals in the group matches that have been played so far. They are clearly hopeless. So, you know, that's why I say get Lyndon Dykes in about them. The last thing you need is this tattooed monster coming towards you. So, you know, and they realise the hopelessness of their own situation. So
the only thing I'm interested in that position is, I know he's not prolific, Shea Adams, not by any stretch, and he's not always been brilliant for Scotland, but most of his goals, I wonder if in against these teams that are going to sit in, has he got a slightly more intricate side? I'm thinking about the hat-trick away in Liechtenstein.
Round the edge of the box, he
scored, did he not, in the Belarus game?
Yeah.
I think I remember him scoring against Cyprus before. just wonder if it actually suits him a wee bit. I know Dykes was great last night, or sorry, the impact was great.
To be fair, I think it should suit either striker. I think, as you quite rightly points out, you're not playing against a side with any real quality. I think any striker starting that Scotland team with Dykes, some of the quality
like
you have,
it's his chaos factor that you like, isn't it? Yeah. Rather than that kind of like.
I think that sometimes needs that for that type of game where a team's obviously defending for their life.
Talk to me about your club team, Serge. Did you expect a manager by now? Can you find yourself digging deep and being patient enough to wait until next week? What are you thinking?
I just want somebody that's going to get us winning, whether it's Gerrard, whether it's whoever. I don't think, and people might laugh, I don't think the league is beyond Rangers at the moment. If they can hit the ground running. Celtic are struggling. Hearts are obviously doing well. I think Hibs, I've got a big say in it as well. I high hopes this season for Rangers. But it's good to see the national team doing well. And as I said, I wouldn't say I'm a great lover on the national team. I'm a proud Scot. But this tournament next year, Scotland really need to better.
Imagine Hugh Keevans with a sombrero on.
Yeah.
Knocking back tequila like there's no tomorrow.
Guadalajara.
Guadalajara Shug. Yeah. You change your name. Because you were Shinjuku Shug.
In Japan, yeah.
So I think that's perfect for
Guadalajara Shug.
I would never see you again.
I'll volunteer for that position.
Don Julio but, for
just, just to go back to Serge's point about the league's not over, that's probably correct. But the manager will need to be the right one. The backroom team need to be the right ones. You'd have to start off with a win against Dundee United at Ibrox. But I look at Celtic. The Celtic fans are not at all happy with their team. Dyson made them happier last Sunday, but they're struggling. Hearts, and we're all having our fun with champions-elect Hearts.
Hearts just you. It's only you at the moment.
As Gordon Dale would say, I'm the only one that's important. So, you know, they're in uncharted territory. They've got to handle the pressure of it all. So, of course, you're not at a stage where you can say the league is beyond Rangers, but so much will depend on how they do in terms of disappointment. Do they get it right? Absolutely right.
Yeah, you couldn't, Scott. You just couldn't do it in October. You're just defying arithmetic to say that it's over. I do think, though, to be 9 and 11 behind it, I mean, it's a lot to state the obvious. You're then having to claw that back on both of them. And again, I appreciate I'm putting a really simple picture on this, but, you know, it's not like first v second then, where, you know, you've got one team to catch. You have to outdo both of those teams by those points totals. There's clearly enough time for it to be done, but you just wonder where do you sit in terms of.
I think it's a huge ask. I think you're relying on both Celtic and Hearts obviously to have quite a few slip ups within there, and
you
obviously
need to be nearly perfect then, don't you?
You need to be nearly perfect. And I just think with that current crop of players, I just don't see them being perfect, whether a new manager comes in or not. I think they can get a tune out of them, but I don't see them going on a 5 or 6 game winning streak.
Serge, you don't sound too concerned or like too obsessed with the idea of Steven Gerrard. Would that be fair? Are you still quite open minded?
Well, I would take Gerrard back, but obviously he needs to be back. If he does come back, I'm sure he'll be back in January. My whole opinion is I think it could be a very competitive league. Celtic aren't burning it up. Hearts will take points off teams. So will Motherwell, so will St Mirren. I'm really disappointed, but in general, about the European side and the whole Scottish football, it looks like we've went backward a wee bit. That's what I'm saying. It's good the national team are playing well. I think there's a lot of no-bad players at Rangers. I just think it was the wrong guy and the wrong scene. And I don't think there's any outstanding candidates for the league just now. I do think points can be retrieved, but Rangers do need to hit the ground running. And I think the players that we've got need to be sort of a let off the leash, because I think they were playing under huge constraints with the manager and they didn't believe in them.
It's always about that, Hugh, that short-term thing versus a longer-term plan. And Serge says, I think Steven Gerrard would take him if he's backed in January. Rangers must have about 20 games before the transfer window opens.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, and you need to make sure that a bare minimum you're starting to chip away slightly, you know, signs of improvement.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of games before a transfer window opens.
Yeah, it's an awkward beginning. Again, we're working on the assumption that it is Steven Gerrard, but again, hypothetically, if it is Steven Gerrard, he comes in, been out the country for a couple of years. Rangers have assembled a squad that the fans don't believe in, believe that money has been wasted in some cases. And he has to immediately, as in a week tomorrow, he has to get them going from the get-go, because it would be incredible to think that Rangers would drop points at Ibrox against Dundee United on the occasion of the new manager's first game. So that's the kind of situation he's got going for him. As an earlier caller pointed out, he's got low knees there. As I pointed out, you've got players like Manny Fernandez, big money paid for them, disappeared from view. A lot of things have got to be made right and quickly by the new manager. Mm.
Thank you to Serge. What about Chris in Livingston? How are you, Chris?
How you doing there, all right?
All good. What are you thinking?
I just had a question for Hugh tonight, eh?
Go for it.
I've heard you coming out with the Champions Elect comments a few times when you're talking about Hearts here. Oh. It's really amused me, actually. Like, I've really enjoyed it.
That was the intention, yeah.
Because I've been listening to this show for years, I've never really heard that before. Eh? I just wanted to know, like, is that a serious statement from yourself, or is it, like, if it's not, like, if you don't think Hearts have a serious chance of winning the league, I wanted to know what realistically you think they could do this season. I ken the season's in its infancy now, but I just wanted to ken, like, what your prediction would be on that. Where we'll end up. I'd also like to hear what Scott thinks as well. I know he's a hibby, and I'm sure he's still a bit sore from last weekend, but I'm sure he'll give an honest opinion.
First of all, of course, there's an element of humour attached to Champions Elect Hearts, but I do not dismiss the possibility of Hearts being able to win the title, because Rangers are in a state of flux. They're 11 points behind Hearts. They have to bed in a new manager, and quickly. The Celtic fans don't like the way Celtic play football, and they are becoming more and more edgy about everything. There's massive tension between the supporters of the club and the hierarchy at the club. Celtic have to go to Tynecastle before the end of the month. I think that's a massive game for Brendan Rodgers and everyone associated with Celtic. So I do not rule out the possibility of anything where Hearts are concerned. I do not rule out the possibility of them actually winning the title. And I do not rule out the possibility of Hearts splitting the Old Firm, which would be quite a novelty for this country. I have too much respect for Derek McInnes. Given the size of the lead that he has, I think that he is capable of one or other of those things.
You over your Derby pain enough to answer Chris's question?
Yeah, listen, I've been really impressed with Derek McInnes and Hearts. I think for me to see where they'll end up, I think we're going to have a real decision in terms of after the Kilmarnock and Celtic game. I think if they were to come through the two games and manage to win both, I think they would be looking at it with huge confidence. I think maybe that competence and that kind of togetherness that they are building, added in with some of the quality players that they have added, come January, they would be able to strengthen. I think they've got a manager who pushed Celtic when he was at Aberdeen, so you would imagine he's learned a lot of lessons and what things. I think he had a few injuries at Aberdeen at the time that maybe hampered his to have a real push. So Hearts are in a really good place. They've got a good manager, good players, as I said, but I think the one that I could probably go on is I think they could seriously finish second. I think they could finish ahead of Rangers. I think it's a big gap for Rangers to catch. I don't see a Derek McInnes Hearts team going on that length of time where they don't win games. I think they will pick up enough points throughout the season. But in terms of the next two games, they're massive, I think, from a Hearts perspective.
Thank you very much, Chris. We'll stay in touch throughout the season and see how this goes. In the meantime, let's give you the chance to win some cash. How does that sound?
The Pundit Predictor. With McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
It's getting serious, this Pundit Predictor. Oh. It's getting really serious. So obviously every Friday night, for those of you who are familiar. We team up with McNair's, and all we do is ask you to predict the outcome of three games in the weekend. That's it. It should be relatively straightforward. Last Friday, David, come on. He predicted Hearts would win, and they did. He predicted Celtic would win, and they did. However, he thought Rangers would beat Falkirk. And in case you hadn't heard, they didn't. Huh. And Russell Martin lost his job, and so on. He lost out on £700, which means you could now win £800. And all you need to do is guess the outcome of three games. It might even be the three favourites win, so the odds might not even be that long, and you can win £800. Of course, it's a bit of a reduced card because of the internationals. So your three games this week are Morton v Partick Thistle, Raith v Ayr United, St Johnstone v Ross County. Call us right now, 0141 951 1025. You have to be over 18, and you have until the end of this break to call. We'll pick a caller at random. Good luck.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Delivered on time for over 40 years.
The highlight of my Friday night, which maybe says more about what life looks like when you're in your mid-30s. But anyway, the highlight of my Friday night to give away cash, or try and give away cash, because we've not been managing it at all on our Pundit Predictor with McNair's. It does mean, though, that the stakes have gone up, because there's now £800 available just by guessing the outcome of three games. The lines are now closed, so to the dozens of you that I can still see trying to get through, thank you so much. You can hang up the phone now. We'll do it again next Friday. But Kenny in Drumchapel's been picked as our random lucky caller. How are you, Kenny?
I'm fine, thank you very much, everyone.
It's quite high stakes, Kenny, isn't it? Just three games, that's all I'm asking for. Don't even need a scoreline, just an outcome worth £800. Do you like the sounds of that?
Yep.
Okay, right, let's go through them. Greenock Morton against Partick Thistle. Home win, draw or away win?
Away win.
Oh, he's put his faith in Mark Wilson and Alex Ray. The Gordon DL Derby, Raith Rovers against Ayr United.
Away win.
Oh, wow. Two away wins. He's going for the high odds. And St Johnstone against Ross County.
St Johnstone.
Home win there. Well, there we go, Kenny. Those are your choices. Just out of curiosity, don't know if it makes you feel any better. I couldn't force an accurate prediction out of this guy. Hugh Keevans, what would you say?
Partick Thistle away. Raith to beat Ayr. And St Johnstone, Ross County, a draw.
Oh, okay. Well, Kenny, we will find out on Monday if you win the £800. And if not, it rolls over again and we add another £100 to the pot, thanks to McNair's. All the best, Kenny.
Okay, thanks very much.
Good championship card, that.
Yeah,
tough
very
games
good
to predict.
Championship really always hard, is, isn't it? Because yeah, I admire the great things Mark Wilson and Alex Ray are doing. They're second, in case you hadn't heard, on Beat the Pundit. But, you know, take the lead last week, scoring early, but peg back, can't find a way past their broth. I think, you know, going to Capello will be difficult, potentially tricky.
Yeah.
What about St Johnstone, Ross County? We spoke about Rangers and how technically there's still time and clock back. If St Johnstone win that, is that the official end for the big pre-season favourites, Ross County?
Yes.
Gone, done, yes. No way back.
No, I will not peg that back.
Which is quite something, Hugh, given the resource they appear to have thrown at it. They are signing some, what was it, 20... Forgive me, it's about 25, I think, in the first team squad at Ross County. Numerous players who played in the Premiership last season, and they haven't got going. Big win recently, though.
Yeah, they looked a hopeless case up until that big win, and I just wonder if that was the turning of a corner. And St Johnstone at home last weekend drew a blank, which was most unlike them.
That is true.
And I just wonder if you put the two together, a slight resurgence on the part of Ross County. Could it be a bigger resurgence? And a blip on the part of St Johnstone at home. Could the blip turn into a double blip?
Well, let's go back to our conversation about the Premiership and hard arithmetic, Scott, where we said it's a long way back for Rangers, but 9 points and 11 points, and you have to acknowledge that it's possible. If St Johnstone beat Ross County tomorrow, it would be 19 points between the sides.
Oh, it's over then.
By mid-October. I mean...
Yeah,
maybe over already, in fact, now that I look at it.
When you say it,
I was thinking
St Johnstone would then need to lose six games to give Ross County a glimmer of hope. That's not going to happen. That's why I think it's imperative that Tony Docherty and Callum Davidson get out of Perth with something.
I think from a Ross County point of view, I think that's a surmountable lead when you look at it, but I think in terms of the end, their best bet would be through the playoffs this year.
I mean, it's quite tight. So Partick Thistle in second and 17 points, Wraith in 14 but have played a game more, or both up in 4th-year-old team, Scott Allen. They've played a game more than Thistle as well, so yeah, you can't really take your eyes off the championship. Tends to be a good place to be, but yeah, that's a massive one. St Johnstone, Ross County. So even if there is no way back, they still, if there's any hope of then even anything respectable, you'd almost have to win it, don't they?
Yeah.
To start chipping away.
Yeah.
Can't believe I'm just going to describe something as a 6-pointer on the 11th of October, but it's kind of got that feel about it, doesn't it, when you look at those?
Yeah, it does, and as you touched on, there are 25 additions to that playing squad. That's, it's a huge number.
Sorry, that's the number of the that's how many players are in the squad.
Yeah.
Not 25 signings. But it might not be far off it though.
Yeah, there was a bit of debate on deadline day, how many players Ross County were signing.
They added so many after that though. Yeah, Trevor Carson, Miller Thompson.
Yeah, sort of
various players got added
after
that.
In their squad, especially for championship level. So you'd expect them to do a lot better than what they have done so far. But you would like to think if they were to obviously pull off a win at McDermott Park, then they could start a run. But that's some amount of gap that St Johnstone have created.
Yeah, let's finish as we started then with a look forward to Scotland this time, Hugh. You've hinted at it earlier. You think Scotland will win.
Yeah.
You don't think it'll be pretty. And ultimately you think they'll move on to 10 points. Is that, I know we've debated a lot about performance levels tonight, but does that, the closer you get to the end, does that become just the priority? Win this and take yourself to the next doubleheader.
Yeah, and remember that goal difference is significant.
Well, that's true.
And getting about that, yeah. You know, Belarus is in the section, they've lost 13 goals so far, an average of 3 per game. So they are not up to doing anything at Hampden, and there's tremendous crowd for Scotland on Sunday, and I think it will be glee time for Scotland.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less than a Scotland win. I think Hugh makes a good point there in terms of the goal difference. What a chance to obviously improve that. You would expect Scotland this time to come out obviously a lot more aggressive than what we've seen last night, and it'll be interesting in terms of who goes up front. Will it be Lyndon Dykes? Will it be Shea Adams? But it should be nothing less than a really comfortable win for Scotland.
What does that look like? Does it, because I'm thinking back to the last doubleheader where it was a bit more conservative against Belarus, against Denmark, sorry, and then Gannon Doak starts. He obviously started the other night. You know, does he start again? We've not got loads of attacking options, but what do you do within that?
I would play him again.
Because Christie and Ferguson suspended.
Yeah.
Gannon Doak starts again. I think you got to take into account that he's a young kid. There's a lot of pressure on him, especially playing for Scotland, just because we don't have that natural pace as we've seen him carry. And see, with wingers, they're usually the most inconsistent players in your team, so not every time he pulls on a Scotland jersey you're going to get this incredible performance. You've got to give him time.
What you sometimes see again, because we don't have loads of ways of making it like super attacking, sometimes like last time took out Grant Hanley and put in Scott McKenna, maybe seen as more of like a ball carrier.
That would be perfectly acceptable if Steve Clark did that, but I agree with Scott. I'd have Ben Gannon Doak on and say, listen, your face was tripping you when you took off, taken off at the weekend, midweek rather. So get out there then and show us that it's impossible to take you off. And he could open all sorts of doors.
Billy Gilmore to start this one, you would imagine.
Yeah, he plays.
And is that because he's the, I feel like he's got quite a unique skill set within that Scotland squad.
He's got composure.
Like, you know, there's no one else that would.
He's got composure of a high level that I think for us, as I said to you at the beginning of the show, having someone who can take the ball under real pressure in the way he plays, I think we're a far better team with him. It settles with the players round about him if there's a bit of nerves.
I'd be disappointed if we didn't score minimum 4 goals or something.
Yeah. I wonder if the 6 that Denmark scored last night kind of makes the goal difference insurmountable anyway, and then you just have to do your business on the results front. Yeah, but listen, you always aim for it. It just feels like it will be, the teaser, we're miles off the teaser, I forgot all about it. Oh my goodness, see, I should ditch it on the night we do the pundit predictor. I'll just need to put you out your misery, you've only got 2.
Kerry Miller?
Yes.
Jackie McNamara?
No.
Paul Lambert?
Nope.
Sean Maloney?
Nope.
Davy Weir?
Yep. So you've got McGregor, Weir, Miller, Gordon. What about a former Celtic captain, right back, 72 Scotland caps, played for Motherwell?
Tom Boyd,
yes. Bertie Vokes shouted his name in the tunnel and it was the most memorable thing.
Oh, come on, Hugh, you'll get this.
Chris Daly.
Christian Daly. Yep. And is that only one more? What about last night? First goal.
Ryan Christie.
Ryan Christie, 62 caps, won the league with Celtic.
Excellent.
There we go. Sorry about the mad dash for the teaser. We will be back in a couple of days' time for you to take you through the weekend's action. So looking forward to that. Big night for Scotland on Sunday. Enjoy your Friday in the company of the GBX.